Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that solves adult grievances the mature way by creating a third television program. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Kiberline, and with me, as always, is podcast host Gold's Tyler Ward. Tyler, I didn't know that you were part of the Gold brand of podcast hosts now.
Podcast for life.
For life.
For life, Cabes.
How many current subgroups are there in Bullet Club right now?
In Bullet Club? Oh my god.
Because now there's Bullet Club Gold.
Bullet
now,
Club
apparently.
Gold is the new stuff. There's
an Impact one. It's like there ABC, is, Bullet Club ABC, I think is the name of the Impact one.
That has like Chris Bay in it.
And Ace Austin. I think
okay.
That's why it's
okay.
ABC.
Or okay, yeah, and then I guess Bullet Club in Japan is still like OG Bullet Club, you would think.
Yeah, but they're in a few different is House of Torture one of the?
That's a great question. House of Bullet Club.
House of Bullet Club. You know what? I'm going. This is how we're starting this podcast now. Out of nowhere, I'm going to the Bullet Club Wikipedia to see the current.
You don't usually find yourself on that page, but.
No, the timeline is pretty, it looks like, you know, like a band, a classic rock band from the 70s, where if you go to their Wikipedia, it'd be like member timeline. It's muddled as that now.
Okay.
I've been on the page for the last 20 seconds, and I'm still scrolling down to get to the timeline. it tells you how long Bullet Club has been around. So I guess there's just four groups right now.
It's just only four different versions of one group. It's fine.
There's the Australian section. There's Bullet Club Gold, which is funny because I think it includes only two Australian people. the U.S. one, which is ABC. Oh, Clark Connors is also in that group. That's
Clark
why
Connors
it's ABC.
Is Bullet Club?
Yeah.
Clark Connors.
Literally as of 3 days ago.
All right, dope. I'm for it.
And then there's the main group with its new leader, David Finley.
Dave Finley.
Is the current leader of Japanese Bullet Club, which is an insane sentence.
That is an insane sentence,
when
yes.
When Evil and Kenta are still in the group.
Bullet Club Gold is just Juice and JY, right? There's not a third?
Yeah, for the time being, it's just the two.
It's a tag team.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we're classifying them
that's
in our
true.
Draft this episode. But yeah, there is still House of Torture. There is still the Rogue Army, the Natural Classics, Generals Jewel, Far East Connection. These are all the like tag teams within the subgroups currently.
Great names.
Yeah. Welcome to Much Ado About Wrestling.
Welcome to Much Ado About Bullet Club.
Bullet Club talk. You think it's, you know, 2018 here.
Yeah.
Tyler, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Getting ready for vacation, which is always fun. That's about it. What's going on up your way?
nothing much. I mean, actually, I have a lot going on in terms of like
actually, well, yeah,
wedding season and travel season and
oh yes,
movie filming season, and all of these things are about to happen at the same time. But I think you are traveling to the coolest place out of all of us. You're going to Scotland, and the question is, are you going to see Drew McIntyre while you're there, and are you going to try to get the scoop, the exclusive, about if he is going to stay in WWE or go elsewhere?
I mean, I'm certainly going to attempt to. I believe there could be a McIntyre castle somewhere in Scotland. Yeah. That's got to be where Drew is residing. I mean, I don't see him living anywhere else besides a castle.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if there was more than one McIntyre castle.
Probably several
across yeah. the UK countries.
But no, we're gonna be in Scotland for a little bit, so it's gonna be fun. If anything, like I think we're just, you know, trying to see how make sure the flight goes smooth and all the accommodations go smooth because maybe we could use that as knowledge for going again in around August time, maybe for something that might be going on around Wembley, perhaps.
Man, that would be bananas if you went to that.
Like it's not a hard no. Like Sarah and I are really talking about Sarah way more than me. She is every day. She's like, "What if we did? Like, what if we just did it?"
I mean, just going to Wembley would be.
Right,
like great in and of itself, but also to go to see something you really, you know, want to see that's a once in a lifetime,
yeah,
at least right now, once in a lifetime thing. I hear this is going to be a bit of rehashing something directly from another wrestling podcast, but it was so cool I felt like I need to share it. So we're talking about you're potentially going to Wembley for AEW All In.
Potentially, right? That would be real cool.
Yeah, which is the second iteration of All In since Tony Khan got the copyright back, I think, from Cody, who owned it for All In as a wrestling pay-per-view.
Sure.
And I learned why getting that name back was so important beyond just AEW wanting to. I think we were like, oh, they want to get that copyright back so that if they get a streaming network, they can put All In
on the original All In. Yeah,
there's a different reason that it's important, which now makes sense. If you know they were targeting running Wembley, is that in the like 1930s, at the advent of, you know, professional wrestling leaving the carnival circuit and becoming more of a thing. Sorry, there's a lot of ambulances going by behind me.
Yes, I can hear that.
Yeah, I'm just going to speed right through it.
Old New York City.
Yeah. were you doing a What We Do in the Shadows bit?
That's
there?
Jackie Daytona right there, 100%.
Yeah, New York City. Oh, man. Okay, so in the night, like when pro wrestling became a thing outside of the carnivals in the early 1900s, in England, to differentiate it from, you know, actual legitimate fights, it was referred to as all-in fighting. And that is what was pro wrestling for like a number of years until like I guess everyone globally was like, it's called pro wrestling. That was like you went to go to an all-in show and you would know that you're going to see something where maybe the fight is fixed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there is a real historical precedent to being like, we're running our big English show and calling it All In. Mm-hmm. So there you go. On Today I Learned.
All right.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about a lot of AEW.
This is why
today.
You come to this podcast. We teach you things.
Well, you actually go to the Masked Man show. That's where I learned that. which is another wrestling podcast, but I'm just relaying it here today. So, we're going to be talking a lot of AEW today. The second half of this, we're going to do a good old-fashioned draft, like we are a Ringer podcast doing drafts all the time. It's going to be fun. But before we get to that, we should talk about why we're doing a draft. And it's because, you know, there are three big AEW news items in the last week, and they all lead to the fact that there might be a brand split. In AEW.
The dreaded brand split.
Yeah, right at the same time that WWE is also doing a draft in the next, like, 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, that's so right. They did. That was Triple H's big announcement, remember?
Yeah, so it's draft time. So last week there was a bit of a Twitter kerfuffle following an episode of the Wrestling Observer where it was suggested that CM Punk was likely on his way back to AEW programming. And the speculation of this was tied to an announcement, not like an official announcement from AEW, but a, you know, announcement from different news sources that they believe the currently to be named AEW live show that was scheduled for Saskatchewan was moved to a Saturday in June to Chicago. And it's like, oh, this is going to be a televised taped thing, but we don't know what this thing is. So the speculation is that CM Punk will be back, and for the second time in his AEW career, might be returning on the first episode of a new television program.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah, which would be, people have said, you know, the trademarked name is Collision, so it would be AEW Collision, and it would be a two-hour show on Saturday nights on TNT. God. So this would be, you know, the SmackDown to Dynamite being Raw. Then we now will have two-hour programs.
Does that fully turn Rampage into Superstars? Like, what is...
Yeah, I mean, does Rampage become, like... I guess Rampage becomes, like, what ECW on Sci-Fi was? Because I feel like Dark and Dark Elevation are still, like, Velocity and Heat and
right,
Main Event and Superstars. But yeah, they'll suddenly have five programs weekly.
Wow.
If you count... I guess six if you count the Ring of Honor show as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll talk about if we think that all, like, I don't know that all those shows will continue if they get this. But, okay, so there's going to be a new show, it seems. It would be announced any day. It's going to be in Chicago, so it seems like CM Punk is coming back. And following a bunch of different vague and not-so-vague tweets from Brandon Cutler, I'm looking at you, we learned that there's going to be a sort of soft brand split between the roster to keep the members of the Elite and CM Punk physically away from each other. Mm-hmm. That is what's being suggested. And then Andrew Zarian of WL reported that this soft brand split is actually going to be much harder than he originally heard. So that is all the rumor and conjectures that we have.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. First question is, like, hearing all that, what rings to you as, like, the most true, and what rings to you as, like, I don't know about that in the story?
I mean, honestly, it seems the most true that Punk is coming back. Punk returning on a Saturday Night Live show that was last minute moved
Saturday
to
Night
Chicago.
Live.
Like, that makes sense. I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not 100% sold on the catalyst of this being just to keep the Elite and Punk separate. Like, I could see this as having been, you know, a plan that Tony might have had for a while. Mm-hmm. And this, whether it's intentional or not, this is what the, you know, the internet wrestling community is going to attribute it to.
Yeah.
And whether or not that's true is, you know, we'll never know that, but I'm not entirely sure. Like, it doesn't seem like a good business move to me to be like, well, we'll just create an entirely second program just to keep these two groups apart. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's kind of, I'm right there with you, and I'm going to make a weird entertainment comp because I'm watching New Girl for the first time right now.
Ooh.
And I'm on the third season, and I'm going to equate it to this thing that happens where Schmidt is forced to choose between two women that he loves.
Yeah, yeah, everybody knows that.
And for a while, he's like, instead of, you know, communicating and figuring this out, I'm just going to date both of them simultaneously. And, like, hijinks ensue, and... Yeah.
You can't have two wrestling shows.
Yeah.
You get one wrestling show.
You get one wrestling show. That was a very good Nick impression, and wow, you really... I watched Thank that you. Episode last night, so I mean, the bigger thing is that you know, I've now met Winston's cat, so that is the better part of New Girl that I'm getting into. But
there you go.
I'm equating this to, if this is actually the reason to do a brand split, it seems, we made a joke about it in the opening, that it seems it would be way easier to just, you know, put the adults in a room and have them talk to each other,
right?
Or come exactly. in as the boss and be like, this is how it's gonna go,
this is professional wrestling. So, like,
yes, you know, so I'm kind of with you that, like, I think it certainly seems like they're getting the show, and it certainly seems like CM Punk is coming back, and part of that is, most of that is probably a business decision first, where it's like, okay, we have a new show and we're running this all in show that we need to sell out, so we need to get right. our biggest named person there.
And to be fair, just to play devil's advocate here, like, this could be a situation of like when Punk first debuted on that Rampage, of like, I guarantee they got out to the media at some point to let it be known that Punk was absolutely showing up. And yeah. so that gets the hype, gets the excitement going. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't put it past them to do it again, maybe this time, and be like, well, you remember all that crazy stuff that happened with CM Punk? Well, what if he was coming back? And what if it was Saturday night in Chicago? Like,
yeah, I think we'll know for sure that he's going to be there. But I here's what I don't buy is that, at least I hope, I hope that, you know, members of the Elite and CM Punk have had a conversation, or a conversation through a mediary,
mm-hmm.
and that the first time that they're going to be in the same room isn't going to be at like a pay-per-view.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Like,
because
I would think
pay-per-views are still going to be the singular event.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you're going to have them work together, it behooves the company, even if they have got together and hashed out the way that they're going to work together, it behooves the company not to let us know about that.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It like behooves them to let the rumor mill keep spinning on this.
Yep.
So I hope that that's the truth, and that the truth isn't that they're doing a brand split to
keep them apart from each other,
keep egos in check,
behaving like children.
Yeah, because that is not a long-term solution,
not at all.
Schmidt finds out. I've seen some people suggesting that a lot of the backstage reported issues, maybe even going back to Brawl Out itself, are not real and were created for AEW All Access.
Oh boy.
What percentage do you buy that? Do you sell that idea?
I don't buy that at all.
Yeah,
0%. Because if it was created for Access, we would see it on Access. And they literally, like, the first episode of Access, when they introduced the Bucks,
mm-hmm.
the Bucks' first thing they said was just, they were talking about how, like, yeah, we've never had this much time off of wrestling before. And they literally never said why. They just never addressed it. So I was like, okay, that's very real. You don't leave that extremely juicy tidbit out of your reality television show.
I could still see that being like the season finale of All Access, being like, all right, here's Brawl Out. But it is weird because the timeline of the show is like, it starts after Brawl Out. But I know that when they did the initial trailer for All Access, that there was a moment of Tony coming into a room to talk to the Bucks, like right after the fight. Like, that does exist in the trailer. But here's why I think I've seen this kind of way of thinking pop up. One of two things. Just like your weird relatives that are probably like QAnon conspiracy theorists, when dealing with something that is like trauma and unanswerable, your mind will look to a conspiracy to calm you.
Right.
And like, the trauma is a hard word for this, but certainly like the fan base has been drained.
You want an explanation
by Brawl Out. Yeah, you want something that's a tidy explanation. So that's one. And two, some of the other minor backstage scuffles, like Eddie Kingston and Sammy Guevara's fight, and the Thunder Rosa Britt Baker, you know, shit slinging. Now, some of that stuff feels a little bit less real because of the way that it's being presented on
it does,
the TV show.
But I don't know. At the same time, like the Eddie Kingston, Sammy Guevara thing, like, that still does feel real to me.
Yeah.
But, like, clearly it was never as, like, serious and as heated as, like, the Bucks and the Punk situation or something like that.
Yeah.
Because them being able to, like, do that little segment on Access where, like,
oh, man,
Sammy sits down with Eddie.
And like, he's just on his phone the whole time.
Like, Eddie Kingston could not like give less of a shit about that.
Yeah.
Like, and I think were that like a fabricated thing, I think Eddie would like put a little more into it. Like, all right, let's entertain the masses. But like, that seemed like a very real response to him being like, look, I don't like this guy, but I guess we're going to use television, whatever.
Yeah. Like, the Brit one, and this is like also one of the first things that happened on that show, of like her rounding up all the women to be like,
oh yeah, God, I hated that.
Weird how Thunder is like not here.
Isn't it weird she's like not here?
That felt like at what she, like her literal script in that scene, because you know, this is all scripted.
Right.
That script felt like what the reports were, where it was like Britt Baker said this backstage, and it's almost like the dirt sheets left out that it's because they filmed it like 8 times for this TV show. So I don't know.
Yeah, that one felt fishy. But on the, like, again, to try to reason with that, like I could still see that situation being real, only that we haven't had Thunder Rosa like interacting with them on camera, in which case like it seems like kind of a dirty move. Like I feel like it's you know, someone throwing her under the bus for the sake of this reality television show. So I mean, maybe they really did have an issue and they're like, oh well, she's not here, so we can we'll create these, fabricate these scenes in the show for them to talk about, oh, how she's not here and stuff like that. But
it's strange that she, Thunder Rosa, also has appeared as like a main character on certain episodes of the show.
Right, right.
And like doesn't address Britt at all, really,
exactly.
In them, which is fascinating. Yeah, I mean, it's not the kind of content that I'm drawn to.
No, absolutely not. This is clearly a show made for a very specific group of viewers, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like Total Divas was a hit. People love Total Divas.
And I think this, like, I think in the minds of Tony and Warner, what I'm about to say might hurt you, Tyler, but I think that to them this is like a big mainstream replacement of like Being the Elite for them.
Oh,
that this is their like docu-reality series.
Yeah.
That,
well, I mean, they had
push,
that.
Like, yeah.
They had the Cody and Brandy show, but
yeah, but that was like, you know, that was so focused on Cody specifically,
right.
And it's like AEW is one of the places that he hangs out, and like this really does feel like a way to take internet storylines that the most diehard fans understand while watching Dynamite. Now you take a really low entry fan. Make them privy to the same kind of backstage-y storylines, and now they can watch and have the same experience as a diehard fan. So it's like genius to me in that way. But I don't know if the people who are going to watch All Access will also watch Dynamite, you know?
Look, until they bring in some of the storylines from Being the Elite, it's just not going to measure up to me. I'm sorry. Right?
Yeah, they're certainly not the like slapstick sketch comedy.
until they defend the Being the Elite championship on an episode of All Access, I don't care. I don't care, man.
That could
until
happen.
We get one of those weird videos from Nemeth doing his thing. Like,
yeah, you're right. Do we think? Well, I guess we've already talked. We've already said that we think that the Elite and CM Punk must have actually talked by this point, right? Or that they've each talked to Tony separately
what
they've said.
I don't necessarily believe that they have all sat down and talked, but I think they've each talked with Tony separately, and Tony's been like, this is happening.
All right.
So
what do we think the reaction to CM Punk, like the live reaction, is going to be from the audience when he, like,
I mean, look,
when it's going to be different in Chicago than
exactly.
Forward.
Chicago can't be the litmus test going forward. Like he's going to get cheered. Like the arena is going to go crazy for him when he comes back in Chicago. The real question is going to be when they go to, you know, Nashville or something. Is he going to get cheered or booed? And specifically, I mean, if they do this, and we'll talk more about this with like the brand split and the draft and all that stuff. But
yeah,
if they start having to do it where like an actual WWE draft, like certain superstars only appear on certain shows. I don't know.
Well, I think like in that way,
let's say it this way. If you, Andrew, bought tickets to Dynamite, and let's say the Elite got drafted to Dynamite and CM Punk's on Collision, you know that Punk isn't going to show up.
Yeah.
So the Elite come out. We like the Elite, so we'll cheer him. You go to Collision. You know the Elite can't show up. When Punk comes out, like, there's no necessarily a reason to boo him.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have, like, the good guys that you like more who are going to show up. Like, I don't know. It's a weird dynamic.
The thing there is I could choose not to buy a ticket to the CM Punk show.
True, yeah.
And, like, you know, that might not be bad to drive internal competition like that. Because, like, a big question I have is, you know, they really get the most, AEW gets the most as, like, a cost-cutting thing by filming four of their TV shows in one night, in one
evening, arena. Yeah, yeah.
So do you still be like, okay, we're going to do this Wednesday and this Saturday show live, but we're going to do it at the same, in the same town each week? So you just travel once.
That would make sense, right? Just do it in the same town.
That could be bad if people were soured on CM Punk. Because then, you know, if I live in New York and the only thing coming to New York this weekend is the CM Punk show, no matter how I feel about CM Punk, I'm like, well, I want to go see AEW.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think you're right that, like, once I'm there, it's like, okay, I'm going to cheer for Punk.
You'd be more inclined to cheer.
Who's
here.
Yeah. But it's going to be fascinating to see. And then to see what it's like on an actual pay-per-view, because then you're going to cross those two people.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like, were there people in WCW times who were, like, booing, you know, NWO Hollywood and were just, like, excited to see Wolfpack and, like, vice versa? I don't really know.
I don't think so.
But we're going to see that sort of thing here. What's the significance of this show being a Saturday night 2-hour live show?
I don't know, man. I'm going to need you to talk to me on this one because I'm going to be honest. I hate everything about that choice. Like,
yeah, talk to me about that.
We've said this countless times already. There is already too much wrestling.
Yeah.
And AEW, even for the last like year or two, has reached the point of there's too much AEW wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So adding another show, I don't like it. I'm not happy about it. Adding that other show on Saturday night at like 8 to 10. Like, look, if that's the time slot for your once a month, once every 2-3 month pay-per-view, of course, that's fine. You can schedule out one Saturday every 3 months to watch wrestling. But every Saturday? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, who's going to watch this show?
Me on Sunday morning.
I'll give you
a devil's advocate for that. It's not that different than Friday Night SmackDown, right? Of like
true,
another thing that's
true.
Like this is a night people go out, although more people go out on Saturdays than Fridays. So I think that like as a live experience, it's going to be great, and people will be like, what do I want to do this Saturday? I'm going to go to the stadium to see AEW on a Saturday night.
I can agree with that. It'd be a fun Saturday night.
And the show itself, I think, will benefit from that. Mm-hmm. But you're right, from a at-home audience, it's not great. But
like, if just speaking for myself, I rarely watch Rampage now.
Yeah, same.
It's not like I'm going out on Friday nights all the time. But like, it's just a bad time slot for me. Like, 10 p.m. on a Friday night, like, I don't want to do that. I can already tell you, I'm probably not going to be watching Collision. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Wait till you see who's drafted there, Tyler.
That is true. I'm going to break it down this way. And I know this is never going to happen because this is the point of, like, I don't know how else to say it. It's going to sound preachy, but, like, a capitalist market when you're thinking in terms of business.
Yeah.
I wish wrestling companies would respect the fact that there are other wrestling companies.
Yeah.
Like, right now, for a wrestling fan, if you really wanted to, you're going to be watching Raw on Monday, Dynamite on Wednesday.
NXT on Tuesday, maybe.
NXT on Tuesday. Well, yeah. let's add them all in. When does Impact happen? Is that still a weekly thing? Is that on Thursdays?
Yes, it is still weekly. I think it's on Tuesdays.
Impact's weekly. Friday, mm-hmm. We got Rampage and SmackDown. Luckily, they're not in the same time slot, but now they're different. Collision's mm-hmm. going to be on Saturday. Like, I understand, like, the whole point. Yes, it's competition. Like, you're a business. You want to outdo your opponents and all that. But, like, just respect the fact that, like, we can't watch wrestling every single day.
Yeah. I think it is likely to me that Rampage would go away if Collision starts, because I don't see the thing that is good about Rampage is that it's like another hour usually of just like a few marquee matches right after SmackDown ends, yeah. Right? So like the mm-hmm. idea is like SmackDown is the lead-in in a sense.
Yeah, I think it works, again, like how we were saying, Rampage filming after Dynamite works for the live crowd. For the live crowd, if you're going to the arena, maybe you show up for Dark and Dark Elevation, but probably not. You're getting 2 hours of wrestling on Dynamite. Like, for a live show, 3 hours of wrestling is nothing. Like, that's perfect for me.
Yeah, it's like going to a pay-per-view.
Exactly. I would love an extra hour of wrestling. So for the live show, seeing Dynamite and Rampage is already a great deal. But yeah, I agree. I do see Rampage is probably on the chopping block.
Yeah, and I think that even with it being on Saturday, that Collision is a 2-hour show and being live is much more valuable than Rampage is. And it's gonna be like Collision is gonna be on TNT as well, the mothership. So like,
yeah,
that is a good thing. And you know, yeah, I mean it's the biggest of the Turner networks.
It is.
Right?
No, I love that. And I think they should advertise it as such.
Yeah. There is, like, people thought that maybe the Collision would be at 6:05, which would be a throwback to what eventually was WCW Saturday Night, which, like, the NWA slot on mm-hmm. Turner was always, like, Turner shows always on TBS would start at the 05 or 35
yeah.
start time, and, like, you know, 6:05 on TBS was, like, our grandfather's big wrestling show. So like I thought they were going to go for nostalgia play, but 8 to 10 is probably a better slot. I don't know, actually maybe 6:05 to 8:05 would
like
have been.
I'm just thinking personally for me. Yeah. I guess 6 to 8 is a better option.
You can go out after.
Well, you can go out after, the night's still a little young. I'm thinking more like, I guess because again, I'm purely as a home viewer, I would be more inclined to watch 6 to 8 because that's like dinner time. Maybe if you are going out, you're still getting ready. You're going to eat some dinner. You can sit down and like put it on or something and then head out at 8. Like I'd be more inclined to do that.
Yeah. But yeah, I kind of like it too. But we are now also like we are edging into a different demo, you and
I
in our lives. But there's something to be said. Like if Punk is going to be the person headlining this brand, and if, you know, the rumored thing is that the first person who's like, you know what, I'm going to bury the hatchet and work with him is Chris Jericho, then there's something to be said for, like, AEW Collision being a group of people that is maybe for an older demo that isn't going out as much.
I was
going to
say the older wrestlers for the older fans.
Yeah, then it doesn't matter. They're not going out, you know, you can call it Saturday Blue Plate Special at that point. Like,
yeah,
you know. What are the big pros and cons for doing a brand split for AEW?
I mean, look, I'm going to be a little biased because I've never been a super big fan of the brand split, even in WWE, even when they first did it for the first time back in the 2000s. So let's try to be objective here. The pros of a brand split. You are creating a whole nother television program mm-hmm. for advertisers that you can put on. That's going to make you money. You could, in theory, like, yes, obviously there's more cost to putting on a second show, but hopefully the revenue you're bringing in can make it worth it and you're making a profit off of it. You can hire more superstars. You can expand your roster when you have mm-hmm. two shows that are quote unquote split, like separate rosters, separate brands. You can split them. You can hire more people. You can give more people more focus. You can have two champions on each. Like it just opens up opportunity for your roster as well, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I
would say
more...
that there is like creative overflow. Like in theory, it should make the creative better because like a valid criticism mm-hmm. of AEW over the past few years is that they like have so many people that like actually that they didn't have the time on TV
True.
To dedicate to them. So now you have an extra prime hour
yeah.
and you can split the roster in half and suddenly people will have in theory a you know more space to actually
yeah.
have time dedicated yeah. to them. It's going to be great
other
for
pros.
AEW Fight Forever eventually that they'll be able to have a general manager mode.
I guess
because
that's
the best mode in wrestling video games.
I guess so.
And you know, the other criticism is that they have too many titles, and now if
now
you know,
we can
a title
them.
Lives in a place, then it doesn't feel as
yeah,
you know.
In a weird, like, I would say a minuscule pro, but, like, if you have to double up on the titles, like, you can double up on merchandising, I guess.
But yeah.
That's, like, a
yeah,
weird
that's
little
true.
Thing.
Yeah, I guess it would do good for merchandising, too, in theory. It will make house shows easier, and I know that's a thing they're going to do
mm-hmm.
here, that if you're not, you don't have to go to both TVs a week.
Yeah.
But I guess a con is that like that it is going to then are they going to go into like two circuit mode like 2006 WWE and then you're paying for twice too many crews on the road.
Yeah.
So like it's whether or not that is offset by advertising
yeah.
or not. You know, it is like a real gamble for them financially. It's like rapid instant expansion.
Yeah,
but they have the number of people on the roster to do it. It's whether they have everything else in place to to make that work.
I don't think I got any more pros, I'm going to be honest.
That's okay. Yeah, the cons really are like risk, right?
The cons, it's that like, I mean, there's risks, obviously.
The
but
creative
like,
could go kaput. Like Tony Khan
could
be...
suffer from this because, I mean, Tony Khan is clearly already stretched really thin.
Not great at delegating. Yeah.
And if he's going to want to do creative for both of these, including all the other crap that he does, obviously that could suffer.
Yeah.
Just other cons, like just off the top of my head. And honestly, I'm literally just reading all the cons that I had when WWE did this.
Yeah.
It's right off the bat, it's going to belittle your championships. If you have two world champions, it doesn't mean as much as one. Two women's champions, two tag champions, all this other stuff. It gets complicated. Having to keep track of all of the different stuff between the two is just, it's another hassle that you have to deal with. Depending on how like rigid they go with this brand split. Obviously, WWE started with a very rigid brand split. Of like you're on this show, and that's it. And now in the last like 5, even 10 years, like those lines have blurred so much that like saying someone's on SmackDown means nothing. Like you could always see them on Raw; it doesn't matter.
Although they're about to reset that, it seems.
True.
It seems like you know if you're in the main event, you get to be on both shows, but then everyone else really does have
right.
A home
and
base.
Like what?
Yeah.
So what is that qualification? So I mean. Yeah. So like that, depending on how AEW wants to approach the rigidity of it, I mean, whether trying to keep track of who's on what show and like whether or not if they've been involved enough in the main event that maybe I can see them on the other show, or if I really want to see them, I have to know that I can only tune into this show to see them. Like that stuff always has irked me about a brand split, and I've always hated it.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean... The best reasoning for the brand split and the thing that rationalizes it the most to me is that, yes, you do have an extremely bloated roster. And if you want to be able to give people TV time and chances to showcase themselves and get better, then this is almost a necessity.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just really upsetting.
Quickly, what do we think this means for Ring of Honor, which is a third brand then within AEW?
I don't know. Truly, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think Ring of Honor might be on the chopping block?
Yeah, kind of in a sense. We're like,
okay.
Either, I think maybe like Rampage continues as like Ring of Honor Rampage or whatever their weekly show is, mm-hmm. and they just get an hour that's not live on TNT, and you maybe treat Ring of Honor more like your true developmental
NXT
territory that is built in with like a bunch of history in it, and you keep Samoa Joe and a few other people over there specifically to be like, mm-hmm. you know, we're the legacy of Ring of Honor.
Yeah. I think, look, that's literally what I was just thinking. Like, have I the book in this and like what I would do? I would probably kill Rampage, have Dynamite and Collision, your main shows. Honestly, I'd probably kill Dark and Dark Elevation, and then just Ring of Honor is now NXT. It's your developmental. You can just do it that way.
Like, yeah. The other way I guess you could go is that AEW is not brand split in the way that there's like a real draft, but have CM Punk come out on Collision and be like, I've bought Ring of Honor. And like now there is like it really is like split.
Yeah.
But it is like CM Punk and these people have their own promotion, and there is like a promotional warfare.
AEW versus Ring of Honor. Like I'm more for that. And honestly, to be fair, like that was a thought of mine like before all this Punk was definitely coming back news. Like we would talk about like, you know, how can they bring Punk back? Is there a way to bring him back, or is he just gone? And like in my mind, I was just bring him to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, put him in another company, wink wink.
Make Ring of Honor the CM Punk show. I mean, I don't care. I understand why they wouldn't do that is because Punk's a massive advertising entertainment name that they want on their big shows. I get it. But
it's one of those things that like makes sense to a wrestling fan who's watching it, and we would understand what is happening. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a tough sell to Warner Brothers Discovery to be like, it's a second brand, but we own all of it. But like they're actually two different wrestling companies. And I think like, it would confuse a normal viewer. Yes.
Be like, and to the equivalent of it, it'd be like if Marvel hired Dwayne Johnson for a movie, biggest movie star in the world,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, oh no, we're not going to have him in a movie. We're just going to have him in this YouTube miniseries.
Yeah, well, that does kind of sound like how fractured the DC universe is right now. That's okay. Let's get into our draft, though. I think we've hit the concerns and the things that could be moving in here.
Yes,
so let's try and see what it would actually look like here.
Uh-huh.
So we're gonna pull out our acting chops just a little bit, and we're gonna try to think like either, you know, the Elite and CM Punk, the characters, or the people, depending on how we do each pick. It's going to be fun. So one of us is going to draft as CM Punk, and the other is going to draft as the Elite. We're going to do a snake draft. Mm-hmm. Each roster.
I do like the idea that like if AEW does this draft, that it will just be the Elite versus Punk.
Like... Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't know if they would say that they're the figureheads, or if Tony would just be like, I have split it, and this is how people have split. I don't know if they're like, there's not like general managers built in to be drafting, you know?
Right. okay.
But we're going to do each roster. You need to have two male competitors, two female competitors, two tag teams, two factions, and then you got six bench spots that can be for anybody. Punk is automatically going to get himself, FTR, and the TNT champion Powerhouse Hobbs, since Collision will be on TNT.
There you go.
And then the Elite will automatically get themselves, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, and the TBS champion Jade Cargill, since they're going to be on TBS.
Yes.
We're going to go with the original WWE draft rules in that the two world champions, MJF and Jamie Hayter, will be expected to appear on both shows. So we're not going to be drafting them.
Okay.
And in theory, FTR will be allowed to be on both shows until they drop the tag titles. And then whoever is the world tag champions can be on both.
We'll do both as well. Okay.
Yeah. So we got it. We think we're clear.
I did have one clarification. So
yes.
For our purposes, you mm-hmm. know, in the roster list that you made.
Yes.
Are we able to draft single stars from factions, or do we have
no.
to get the whole faction?
You get the whole faction.
Ooh.
When you get them. Yeah.
Okay. So a whole faction or nothing. I
yes.
see.
So I have a list. We have a list of a draft pool of people that we're picking from, and then we have a little draft board. And go to the show notes on muchadowrestling.com if you're listening to this, and I will have images of this so you can play along and see okay. see who is on the board for us. So I guess the first question, Tyler, do you want to be the Elite or do you want to be CM Punk?
Oh, man. I mean, you're going
to
give
you,
me...
Or you can pick to go first in the draft.
Ooh,
you get
okay.
one of those two.
First team or first pick?
First pick.
Do we have to? Are we going specifically like draft your males? Draft
no,
your
no.
females?
You can. It's like a fantasy football or baseball draft.
Ooh.
Like you can take, but you have Ooh. To have like at least Caves. Two females by the end, kind of thing.
Okay. Okay. Oh man, that's so tough. I'm gonna let you pick. I want the first pick. I want
you
first
want the
draft.
First pick. Okay. I'm going to be CM Punk.
Wow.
And you can be the Elite.
Okay.
In this case. So the Elite are going to get the first pick in the All draft. Right. You're on the clock, Mr. Omega.
All right. So for the first draft pick for the Elite, All Elite Wrestling on Wednesday mm-hmm. nights. You know, I ran the numbers, and this is purely just I had to get the most bang for my buck here. And my mm-hmm. first draft pick is going to be the entirety of the Jericho Appreciation Society. That
Ooh.
Is Chris Jericho, all the members included. I think it's seven of them, eight of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch. It literally is the most amount of people that you could get. So you just got Chris Jericho, Daniel Garcia, you got Parker, Sammy Guevara, Ty, Anna, Hager, and Menard.
Daddy Magic. All right.
So we can already throw out this being the most realistic to how it's going to go. If Jericho's going to be feuding with CM Punk, we think.
There you go.
Where this starts.
So, I'm man, sorry if that was your first pick as well.
That's okay. I mean, maybe I go. Maybe we just really make it. That was going to be my first pick. Maybe we make it as just as like unrealistic as possible then here. Let's really just go with... We're trying to pick our best rosters. so I think, like, if this actually were to happen, your first pick and my first pick here probably would be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
But I am also going to take a faction as my first pick.
As you do.
As CM Punk. And it's because there's a lot of Ring of Honor legacy in mm-hmm. there. And maybe as CM Punk, I'm like, oh, these people hate the Elite too? Well, then I want them on my show. That's like in kayfabe. So with my first pick, CM Punk for Saturday Collision on TNT, I will be taking the Blackpool Combat Club.
Blackpool Combat Club, that's a good call.
So I will get Danielson, I'll get Claudio, Moxley, and Yuta.
That's Yuta a good Wheeler. Call.
Yeah. And since it's a snake draft, I actually have the next pick as well. So let me, I'm doing a lot of copying and pasting right now.
Sure, sure.
So the first pick of round number two for me,
mm-hmm.
You know, Punk can sometimes be a vindictive person.
Sure. It's been documented.
So, you know, I want to make someone's life a bit of a living hell. And I want to teach a kid with nothing in his head, you know, what it's like to work. So I think with my second pick CM Punk, I am going to be taking Hangman Adam Page.
Ooh, that's a good one right there.
Yeah.
All right.
So you got two picks in a row.
Two picks in a row.
Omega.
All right. No problem. All right. So for the second draft pick here for the elite side, look, it's great to grab factions. It's good to get a lot of people when you can, but sometimes there's that one shining star that you got to pick up, and they're worth it. And honestly, I can't think of a more shining star in this entire division. So my second draft pick is definitely going to be Britt Baker.
Oh, no. CM Punk is fuming over here right now because that's someone that he thinks is a pillar of the company.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for him, though.
Man, yeah, that one's tough for,
yep, that's tough
for me to lose out on as CM Punk.
Yep.
Okay, so you get Britt.
I got Britt, and then we're doing the snake draft, so pick number three. And look, just, you know, I'm a hopeless romantic here. I couldn't dare split these kids up.
I bet you are.
So I'm going to take Adam Cole as well.
That's a good pick, honestly. Like, whether it's in kayfabe or not, that is a smart – and, you know, you get Adam Cole and Adam Page on two different shows, and some people think that they look a little bit
too alike,
and their names are too alike, so.
No confusion.
Yeah, you get them away from each other. That's smart. Great. So I'm now on the clock for two picks here.
Two picks for you.
Who do I go for? You know, some people might say that they think that CM Punk is out of touch with what the youths are into.
The youths?
But he understands just as much as anyone else what you know is over, even if it's not his taste. So he's gonna go and get a real young, entertaining group. The first tag team off the board. CM Punk has taken the Acclaimed.
Ooh. Okay. Well played.
Yeah.
That's a good grab.
And beyond that, he's also going to take, you know, someone. This one's going to be a shocker, I think. He's going to take someone who's been a little disgruntled.
Number four overall.
Yeah. He's going to take someone who's been a little disgruntled, and someone who, you know, has just been rejecting a bunch of shitty creative. That Punk is like, you know what? I think I can give you good creative. Here's 10 weeks of TV. Come back to work. We are taking Miro.
Ooh, okay. I considered Miro. Well done.
Yeah.
Good play.
So that's a risk because he might just not show up. It might be like when the NBA, you know, you draft a European player and then he doesn't come over for 4 years. But yeah, yep. I think this is something that Punk would do, honestly.
All right. Let's skate. We're moving right along back on the elite side. Look, we got quite a good roster here. It's already starting to build up. I think, you know, the Acclaim was a great pick on your end. I think I'm going to have to snatch up a tag team as well for myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we haven't really seen these guys, establish themselves as a tag team yet, but they're both very accomplished single superstars in their own right, and honestly I think one of them has the future that could only be described as face of the company potential. And so I just have to do it, man, because it's for life. I'm taking the Bullet Club Gold.
Yeah, that's a good pick. CM Punk over here considered them for a second and then said he didn't want more elite people beyond wants Adam Page to be on an island.
I gotta have Jay White.
That's a great, having Jay White there is a great, I mean, you have three former leaders of the Bullet Club now on
your
roster.
Oh my god, that's right. We can finally do Bullet Club Civil War.
Yeah,
again. Here. I think that was pick four for me.
Yeah,
pick
you're four? In round right. five now.
Sure, number five overall. Again, quite a roster that's starting to build up here. I am going to grab, as you were saying, like, you know, it's important to get those young stars that's going to be lead the next generation of fans.
You're taking my next pick.
So, look, I'm all about the long term, and the long term for wrestling, specifically stars, you got to look at their crossover appeal. And I am all about getting someone who can make that jump into the world of Hollywood, maybe, and the further reaches of entertainment. So he's already got a foot in the door. I got to go Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
Ooh, yeah, that's a smart one. Jungle Boy, you're right. He can be there for you for a long, long time, potentially. And you take another, you know, very long-haired white guy off the board.
As you do.
Which they have a lot. Okay, so I got two. I've yet to pick a female. But man, there are like three really big. Man, this is tough. Okay. You know what? I haven't picked a female yet, so I'm going to get three of them in one fell swoop.
That's a good choice.
And I'm going to take, as a faction, three people who have had success in WWE, just like me, and understand what it's like to be a big name. So I'm taking the Outcast, Saraya, Ruby Soho, and Toni Storm.
That's a good call. Good call.
So then, do I really... Man, there's a lot of people I really want, and I'm afraid that some of them are going to get taken.
Let's see. You got room for what? You got room for one more tag team?
Well, I mean, I got room for everybody because of the bench things.
Oh, the bench. True.
Yeah. So, in fact, you know what? I'm going to go two factions in a row.
Oh, boy.
And part of it is because I want another title exclusive to my show.
Oh.
I'm going to take the House of Black.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. House of Black now are on my bench, but are the third faction that I've taken.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Two for you.
Two for me. Back on my side. Look, I'm gonna take your hint there, and I'm gonna go for a faction as well. And also, I'm gonna go for a title as well. I want the best friends with the international champion, Orange Cassidy.
Oh, that's smart. That's really, really smart. Yeah,
and
that's smart because then, you know, I have the TNT title over here, so you get another men's secondary title.
Yep, there we go.
So it works out. Yeah.
Maybe one day I can finally put the tag titles on the best friends, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Next one. Oh boy. You know, I grabbed a couple women with the JAS pick earlier, but I definitely am gonna need some more. And who better, honestly? I gotta go with Hikaru Shida.
Yeah. Former champion, second longest champion, or still longest champion that they've had.
I think she might be longest still.
Yeah. Wow, you've got two really good women.
That's a solid women's division right there.
Yeah. And then with Ty and with Anna Jay as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got three villainous women over here. Who's the biggest baby face on the board?
You need a hero.
I do. See, I want to take Thunder, but I don't know that that's the best use of it over here. But you know what? I'm going to... You know I'm the biggest Thunder Rosa fan there is, but CM Punk is a big Britt Baker fan.
Mm-hmm.
This might be early, but this is a shot for the future. We need a big babyface who's also loved in Chicago. So I'm going to take... Oh, man, this is... What a risk. I'm going to take Chicago's own Sky Blue.
Ooh, I'm not going to lie. I had her on my backup list.
Yeah.
I think she's got a lot of potential.
There's a bit of a reach, but I think it's a good pick.
Nothing wrong with that.
So did I put her in the right section? I did. Okay, so I'm going to take... There are three other males I really, really want. I'm going to take one of them right now. this is the person I think on the board who has the most upside for a show that has the more entertaining people, the people who can run the stick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking Ricky Starks.
Ah, got him.
Yeah.
Grabbed him. All right.
I sure did.
Got to call an audible now. All right. It's a good grab. Good pick.
Yeah. There's only one pillar left on the board?
Just one that I can think of.
One pillar left on the board. Okay.
Yep. So let's see. Next for me. So I'm going to... All right. So I got a little worried when you started talking about three gentlemen. And I was worried you were going to grab these three gentlemen from me. So I got to pick them up while I still can. And that's why my second faction, I got to draft the Death Triangle.
Yeah. Actually, your third faction.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Because you also have best friends.
I do see that. You're right. Best friends. All right. Put them on the bench.
Yeah, they're on the bench. Yeah. I guess you now have the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship, but yeah.
Oh, nice. Brilliant. So I grabbed the Death Triangle. All right. So next up, I'm going to be thinking long term on this pick. I'm thinking long term. I'm also thinking of, you want to have a superstar who can appeal to a wide group of fans, maybe even an international market, something like that.
Yeah.
So kind of a dark horse, but not really. I'm going with Konosuke Takeshita on this.
Yeah. I think, I'm really trying to stick a little bit to like who Punk would want and who would make sense for the type of show. But like if it was just me and you drafting like our own AEW rosters, I think he could have been my number one pick, honestly.
Ooh, okay.
Of just like pick for the future, like someone who's certainly like has
got
it all
the upside, man.
Yeah. Okay, looking here now.
In about 10 or 15 years, we're gonna see Takeshita retire Okada. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it could happen. That was the third of the people on the male side that I really wanted to get. But you know what? I'm gonna stick with the male side, and I'm going to get a second big hoss to go up against Powerhouse Hobbs and to be another young guy who could be built around on my show. And I'm gonna take Wardlow.
Okay. Okay. Good grab.
Yeah. And then I still got two starters I need to get. How does CM Punk really feel about the Hardys?
How does he really feel?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. But you know what? Instead, I am going to take another big guy with upside, and I'm going to take Keith Lee.
Oh, no. That was a good grab. Well done.
Building out my Haas division.
Well done.
Yeah.
He was about to be my next pick.
Well, you got two more.
That's all right. I'll take it. All right. Calling an audible here. You got to mix it up. I do need another tag team. And to be fair, we have not seen these gentlemen display their tag team capabilities in quite a while, and I think it's a crime because they had such an amazing upside when they first debuted and were given a good spotlight. So I'm gonna pick up Private Party.
Great. All right, I like that.
I think
pick.
I can bring them back to prominence.
Yeah, I mean, you already like they're your second tag team, but you also do have the Young Bucks, and you do have...
We got the Bucks.
You got Jericho Appreciates Inside. You got Best Friends, and you got Death Triangle. So you definitely have the better tag team division, even if I have FTR over here and the Acclaimed now.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Second pick. Let's see. I mean, there's one very big name that is staring back at me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to capitalize on it right now, but...
Paul White? He's the biggest... Yeah.
I feel like it would be a mistake if I didn't. you know, you gotta think about the future of your company and what it's mm-hmm. gonna, who's gonna carry that flag for you. So I gotta go Darby Allin.
Yeah. Yeah. The last pillar off the gotta board. Going late, going in the 11th round. That's a big steal. You know, I am taking Sky Blue in the 7th round when I could have had Darby Allin then. But, you know.
She's got all the upside.
I think I'm going to really solidify that my side of the show has the best well-rounded female roster. I know you had Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida, and you have some people in JAS, but I'm going to take two more baby faces to really add.
Ooh.
So I'm going to take Chris Statlander.
Good grab.
Yeah.
Very good grab.
I'm going to put her here, and I'm also going to be taking Thunder Rosa.
Got Thunder Rosa as well. All right.
So, you know, once they come back from injury, my...
mind you.
Yeah, my women's division is going to be good.
All right, so let me run the numbers here.
All of your starters are filled, so you can
All my starters are filled, and I think...
You can do anybody. Yeah.
I have one faction in my bullpen, I'm going to call it. So yeah. Five more picks on that? If we're
you've
doing
got,
six you, on the bench?
You've got three picks left.
Oh, because the faction counts... as three people for the six spots?
No, you're just in round, we're in round 12 and there's 14 rounds. Mm-hmm. So your bench right now is Death Triangle, Takeshka and Darby Allin, which man, that
right,
could be
right.
Starters and probably
you're
will be,
right.
You know. Yeah.
All right, let's do it. All right. Well, we
which
do
means
have
you're going you're going to get the last pick in the draft.
Ooh, we do have quite a lot of...
There's a lot of good people left.
Quite a lot of good people, quite a lot of factions available.
Yeah.
So if you want to get some more bang for your buck, the number's there. I definitely need to add a couple more to my women's roster. Right off the bat, I'm just going to grab her while I can. She's got countless more years wrestling, so I'm going to grab Riho.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good and smart...
Gotta grab that one. Let's see. So, you know, just kind of even out the roster, add in a little more excitement, something else. I think. Oh, I can't say no to this guy. Give me Danhausen.
Oh, no. CM Punk is so mad.
Oh, he's
now.
So upset. Give
that was
going to
be his last pick.
Danhausen for the Drafthausen. Let's do this.
Yeah. Man, that hurts. Okay, so these are my last two picks. I have to get a tag team as one of them, so I'm going to go over there. Man, it's between two for me, and it's a really tough pick because one is like work great for the future, and one is to immediately kill you in the ratings.
Ooh.
I'm going to take the Hardys.
Scott, that's a good call. Good call.
Yeah.
They sell
I think
tickets,
they could,
man. Put
they could go well with the acclaimed... So then with my last pick, you know, I got a lot of good people who could go up against Punk in the main event, but I feel like the last pick has to be another person who could be a potential across the ring from him. So, you know, there's interesting people on the board for that. Luchasaurus is about to be repackaged mm-hmm. and to be like a big villain. You've got big international stars like Bandido and Roosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go with someone who CM Punk hates like Eddie Kingston.
True.
Or the future like Hook. But again, I think like I'm just going to get the average wrestling fan and people are going to watch my show instead because I'm ripping him away from your boy Darby Allin. I'm taking Sting with my last. It's Sting.
It's going with Sting. Well done.
Yeah. Which means you got one pick left.
Last one.
Yeah.
Look, you took Keith Lee from me, all right?
Yeah.
I needed a big boy. I needed a hoss. And you got Miro as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
don't forget Wardlow.
And Wardlow. I got to have one on my side. And now he's a little up in his years. I don't know how much more wrestling he's got in him. But dang it, if I don't think he's still got some of his best years ahead of him, I'm going Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. You get another title.
There we go.
The TV title over there. Okay, so we have completed our draft. I'm going to run down our rosters, and then I feel like we should say like what our show kind of looks like.
Okay.
Like what kind of wrestling show are you going to get over here? So on Dynamite, on TBS, you're going to have Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. You're going to have that TBS champion, Jade Cargill, over there going after that TBS champion. On the women's side, you're going to have Britt Baker and Hikaru Shida and Ty Mello and Anna Jay and Riho in the women's division. You're also going to have Jungle Boy Jack Perry, Adam Cole. You're going to have Takeshka. You're going to have Darby Allin, Danhausen for the comedy, and Samoa Joe. You also got the Intercontinental. You got, you know, Orange Cassidy and his All Atlantic Championship, or International Championship now.
International, yep.
Yeah. You got Chris Jericho as the big bad over there. You've also got Sammy Guevara as the future. You've got tag teams in Private Party and Bullet Club Gold, where Jay White could also be a single star. You got the Best Friends. You got Death Triangle. You got all three of them.
I do actually just need to point out real quick, I have the four pillars according to CM Punk, which is replace MJF with Britt Baker.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay, because I have, you know, Hall of Famers over here on
you do have Sting
on my side. Who did I leave out for you? I think it's everybody. You got Jake Hager in his hat. And
I
you
do
got
have Hager in the hat.
Daniel Garcia and yeah.
Daddy Magic.
Yeah. So on my side I've got CM Punk. I've got FTR, the World Tag Team Championships. Mm-hmm. I've got Powerhouse Hobbs and the TNT title. To go up against him, I got hosses like Wardlow and Keith Lee. I've also got the legend Sting. I've got the future Ricky Starks. I've got Hangman Adam Page, who CM Punk is going to make his life a living hell. I've also got Miro, who he's going to bring back into the fold. For work rate, I've got the Blackpool Combat Club here. You know, Danielson, Claudio, the Ring of Honor champion,
yep.
Moxley and Yuta. I've got the Outcasts in the women's division. I got the, you know, three baddies in Saraya, Ruby Soho and Toni Storm, and I've got three baby faces to go up against them, and Sky Blue, Chris Statlander, and Thunder Rosa. I got the House of Black with trios titles. I've also got the Acclaimed and the Hardys.
There you go.
So that's what we got. Man, who did we leave on the board? Who are the people who you got really close to picking who, like, we can't
the big
believe?
Big names. Yeah. I mean, besides
Colt Cabana?
Besides the people that you grabbed, the names that I'm shocked weren't picked, just when you consider, I mean, where they currently are in the roster,
yeah.
But also kind of, again, it's a lot of, like, people's future use and, like, where we could see them. I'm amazed Eddie Kingston didn't get grabbed up.
Yeah, Eddie and Hook, I feel like, would have been the
Eddie
next.
Eddie and Hook are
big,
ones. I'm not super shocked, though. I mean, like, I like Eddie, but, like, he's not my favorite. But I mean, even still, you have some big names who, like, they just signed in the women's division who probably have potential. I mean, like, Ty Valkyrie just showed up. Like,
yeah.
She's got a lot of upside to her.
Willow Nightingale has a lot of upside.
Willow's great, yeah. Honestly, I was really torn on between Private Party and Top Flight.
Yeah.
Just that Top Flight does seem a little injury prone of late, so I felt like Private Party was the safer option.
Yeah.
Recent
tag champions, the Guns, were not taken.
Yeah.
The problem, like, looking at it this way is that most of the best tag teams are actually part of factions rather than straight up tag teams.
You got Lucha Bros and Death Triangle.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dark Order was one I considered taking so that I could do a, like, Punk and FTR versus Hangman and Friends match.
Yeah.
the firm could have been taken as good, like, you know, good villain jobbers. And just to get Stokely Hathaway would be a boon. And then Mogul Affiliates, I got really close to taking, not because I have any faith in Boudreaux or Trench, but just Swerve. Because Dev Swerve.
I'm amazed that no one picked up Double J. That is a travesty.
you know, like they work the same way as the firm. Where like, I think the real split will have those two people on, like the firm will be the mid card jobbers on one, and the team of Dutt, Singh, Jared, and Lethal will be the mid card jobbers on the other.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. That's we didn't, good looking, you know, rosters.
Something we didn't do was like if there was going to be a big surprise name who you could draft, someone who's maybe not under contract. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone who you like have show up on Collision?
Or on Dynamite?
Dynamite, yeah.
What do you mean by not contracted?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like Miro for me like would be the surprise, right? That would be the one where it's like, oh, we haven't seen him in a while, and now he's here. Yeah. But like, I guess Drew Galloway is who people would be expecting, but I don't think his contract is actually up for quite a while.
I mean, I guess the equivalent of that would probably for me be, I guess, Sheeta. We haven't seen Sheeta in a long time.
Yeah, Sheeta's been out. Yeah, that would be, I guess, your most.
It could be that
surprising one on your end. That's the most sense. I mean, someone who would be good for you guys to pick up who just dropped the Impact Women's Championship is Jordynne Grace. Man, that's a great person to throw up against Jade Cargill.
That is a great choice right there.
Yeah. So there's people out there. Who could be shocks. But again, we don't really know if they're going to do an actual draft like we just did. But
I just know that one day in the future with these rosters, I'm definitely picking back up Cody Rhodes.
I like that. That's good. So we will, you know, I will share images of everything that we selected here tonight, too, so you can look and you can criticize my taking Sky Blue in the seventh round so many pillars and former champions behind.
Look, man, I'm defending that. I think that's a solid pick, all right?
Yeah, that's one that, like, 10 years from now, it's like, oh, that guy was a genius.
It was brilliant.
That. Yeah. Yeah, that's a CM Punk. That was the CM Punk in me coming out to be like, well, that needs to be the pick. I guess AJ Lee would be the surprise for...
There you go.
For, yeah, AJ Menendez.
That would be Mendes, huge, actually.
That would be huge. Great. Well, that's all that we've got time for today. Tyler, do you got anything you want to throw out there before we get out?
I don't. I'm good.
Wonderful. Well, then, as always, we're going to leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
Idiot.
Oh, yeah. Booker T on record saying he doesn't think the brand split is a good idea. So.